Tap, 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 tap. Ow, there you go. It does work. Hey, it's been a long time, and I'm back. I had to take some time off. Life's definitely not easier now that I'm back, but I'm wanting to fit in some episodes. I have some great ones that I recorded a while back, and I really, really want to get back into the swing of it and having podcasts come out more and more. This is always a thing that I say for the end, and if I can't get to it, I let it go, but I wanna bring it back. And I was really excited that Leah wanted to hang out and talk about YouTube. And of course, we brought in Mary Lou, who we both love and adore, and we had the best conversation. So if you're thinking about joining YouTube and getting in there and making content, this is a great episode for you. And if you just like us and just want to hear us talk, this is also a great episode for you. And there's a shout out about Ricky in the back end of it, which I love. So if you're a fan of Ricky TV, then you definitely got to check it out. So welcome to Maker Conversations. I'm your host, Tiff Marchand from Night Car Designs. And welcome to episode 69. All right, let's get on with the episode.
I think I'm ready.
All right. Well, I thank you both for joining us. I'm curious what Leah has to ask. First of all, she complimented me by DMing me saying, "Hey, Tiff, what kind of camera equipment do you use?" And I just laughed. I was like, "Nothing." So I was like, "My phone." I'm like, "Why?" She's like, "I really want to up my game. I want to see what I want to get into. Like, what is the purchases I need to make?" And kind of like hash these things out. And I'm like, "Well, I know someone." So let's hang out, and this is how we kind of came here. And Leah, being Leah, who is awesome, wanted to know now. So that's why we were like, as sooner the better.
And here we are.
And here always. We are.
But the back text is, I'd already asked Mary Lou this weeks ago, and she told me this camera. And so I hit up Google, and Google basically opened my wallet and said, "Not today, baby, not today."
Yeah, for sure. There are more budget friendly ones. That is still my recommendation.
Yeah.
So what was the recommendation, so everyone knows?
I believe it was a Sony A7S4. I can't remember. It's gonna do everything that I feel like someone who's making content needs. It's a really good hybrid camera. It can do video and photo really well. Like, I don't have that camera. I have a Sony FX3 because I'm a filmmaker and I wanted to make movies, basically. And that's why I went with the FX3. But if I was like, if I didn't really care in that way, I would totally get the other camera. Because, like I said, it just does both things really well. It does photo and video. The stabilization within the camera is there. The autofocus. All of that.
Yeah. So with a lot of Googling in the past few weeks, as I attempt to get closer to making my first YouTube video, which is going to be your standard, "Hey, here I am. This is who I am. This is my shop. Like, and if you like all these things, stick around" type deal. And I was seeing, can I get away with just starting? And that, I think that's probably my first big question with YouTube. Can we just start with what we have and make a basis presence of here's who I am with what I've got, with the intention of upgrading as we go? Or is it better to wait until you have these types of skills and equipment to be able to, you know, get your foot in the door?
I personally am of the belief of just get started. Get started with what you have. Honestly, I don't want to sound mean, but like your first video, nobody gives a fuck who you are. You know, like, it's just like they're going to watch an interesting video if it's interesting, you know, and I don't like you can just do whatever you want, you know, but I wouldn't be worried about like making sure that people know who you are, because like that's going to show in your body of work over time. And I think it's also a journey. Like my first video is horrible. Like I kind of get a little cringe when I like think about it. However, it was a part of my journey and it was where I started and I did the best with what I had. And every video I look at, like, how can I be better than the next or than the last video that I just created? Mm-hmm. Like what little, it doesn't have to be like overall better, but like something that maybe I really hated from the prior video. Like maybe I didn't like my audio. I'm like, okay, well, I'm gonna fucking like go hard and make sure that the audio is like pristine in the next video. Or maybe I didn't have enough coverage in the last video. And so in this next video, when I'm shooting, I'm going to make sure that for every single scene, I have enough coverage. However, again, I sometimes in the moment, I forget. I forget to get certain things because I'm so caught up in what I'm making or what I'm doing. And so I'm constantly, when I'm in the editing process, I'm also like going back to my shop and getting pickup shots. And it's kind of like, it is a back and forth thing and it is really annoying, but like the end result is always so worth it.
Mm. I know. We always talk about that, the pickups, how important they are.
Yeah. I mean, like in my last video, the whole third part of that video was fabricated. Like that was not the real like moment in time, because when I was going through it, right, I didn't have time to capture any of it. I just had to like make the thing really fast. So when I went into editing, I was like, oh shit, I'm like missing a whole like important part of the story. Like it was the whole conflict of the story. So yeah, it was completely made up though. Yeah.
Okay, so this brings me to a second question, and so here I am about to attempt my first YouTube, right? So I start writing out like some type of a narrative, a script. Some of it has detailed shots. Some of it's just like, hey, say this here, and it's really just kind of brain dumping this idea that I have. Who knows if I'll actually go by it? How do you step to a series or a project or a video that you want to do?
That what you have done already is great. A lot of people don't do a lot of pre-production. Scripting things out, I know, really helps a lot of people. I don't get to scripting until I start editing.
Okay.
But I probably should do it before because it helps to inform what shots you need to get. Mm-hmm. And the more that you do in pre-production, the better production will go, and then the better post-production will be as well. Like, so in traditional filmmaking, you have your script and then you give it to like a director, and then they'll have like a storyboard, not them specifically, but you know, they'll like discuss their ideas and have a whole storyboard and a shot list and all of this stuff, and then go into production. And things are not usually shot chronologically on a movie set or a television show for logistical reasons. Like, let's say you're shooting, like, there are four scenes within a movie that take place at a school, and mm-hmm. they want to shoot all the scenes that are at the school, like, either in one day or, like, two. You know,
right?
So it's not usually shot chronologically, but when you're making something, you're doing things chronologically. And right. So it's hard to sort of know what's going to happen, you know, like you don't know what's going to go wrong, any of those sort of things. So the more that you can do in pre-production, like the more prepared you'll be, and like you won't even have to think about it as much, because like for me, when I'm making something, it is so hard for me to also be thinking about the video, you know. Mm-hmm. Like I'm kind of like
it's tough to balance. Yeah,
I'm focused on one thing versus all of it. So yeah, like what you're doing already is like you're already on the right path. You kind of mm-hmm. got it. I'm just validating.
I like it.
Yeah.
I would think my next question is, let's get into the technical, because let's just pretend that everybody's like me and they've never shot a YouTube video. Let's say that they've been in the Instagram game for a while, trying to step up, but obviously Instagram's not honoring a lot of things. Let's just leave it at that. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, stepping into YouTube as a complete newbie who's never done it, my thoughts are, well, I want to get really great shots. I want some high quality behind the visuals and the audio. I don't want that to get in the way of my story, because that's why I'm stepping into this space with YouTube. I want to be able to tell story along with builds, and everybody might come with their own things. So how do I do that well? We already talked about a camera, but the other elements that I know of are lighting and mics. I will tell you that I've been recommended a mic situation, and that's on my docket to buy next paycheck, Lord willing. But lighting is a little more elusive to me, because it feels like it's, you know, a mic is a cut and dry recommendation. Lighting is a little bit more like, well, what mood do you want to go into? Do I just throw out a ring light? You know what I mean? So the schematics, what would you recommend as far as the schematics to get into it?
Okay. So in my time of like sort of going through this exploration of equipment, video equipment, it's a rabbit hole. Mm-hmm. Just like any other thing, like you start getting tools and then you're like, oh, well, I need this one and this one and this one and this one. But what don't you need is the question. And so if you're starting out making YouTube videos, and we'll start with lighting, I think that getting one big light is better than getting multiple small lights. So like ring light, small little panel lights, like lights that are $100. Sorry, but no. So like, you know, Amran makes great, or sorry, it's Aperture, but the like line is called Amran. Those are really great, budget friendly. Like it's not super expensive. I think you can get one like on Prime Day for $150. You know, that does not include a stand though, so keep that in mind. Yeah. But you know, like I have lighting with me right now. Oh, mm-hmm. You can't see because it's blurred. But I have these two little things, and those are great. You know, like little sort of add-ons. And
those little ones are awesome that you have, that you just showed, by the way. She lights things so nicely with those little tiny things.
I know.
What are like, those?
So I can't. Sorry, my like camera sucks right now.
This makes me want to go fix my lighting like right now. Like,
yeah. So these are newer. The brand is newer, NEEWER. And, you know, I actually should add these to my website. Should I just plug my website in? Just go to madebymarylou.com. It has all my equipment on that site that I use. So I will add these, though, because I haven't. But I also use these just like almost in every single shot as backlighting. Okay. So I'll like put it behind me because one, it's lighting my hairline, but it's also like, so that separates me from like the wall, and not okay. Everything looks as, I'm going to stop holding these like that. Sorry. and so not everything is flat and one dimensional, like everything kind of looks a little bit more interesting. So backlighting is also key. But it's also interesting when you see a light in your shot. Because that's very normal to people. Like mm-hmm. having a lamp in a room is called practical lighting. So that's, it's very normal to see light in your shots. And I think people don't really realize that sometimes. And that's what makes something cinematic as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So where you see something that already registers as normal, but you have produced your own light to highlight the subject that you want in the shot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you I mean, I know that viewers who are listening cannot see me furiously writing these notes down, but like, if y'all heard the pen scratching over here, it is phenomenal.
That's awesome. You guys should be watching on YouTube as well.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So Mike's, how do you say R-O-D-E? Is it road?
Road. Yeah.
Bless it. I stressed at saying that out loud in front of people who know how to pronounce it. Mm-hmm. I didn't know if I needed to get bougie and be like, Rode.
Well, you are talking to Mary Lou. I mean, it seems acceptable.
It seems like something I would actually say.
That's what I mean. It sounds perfectly acceptable.
Because I do that all the time. Yeah. It is road, though. Road. Yeah. Road is acceptable. Yes.
Okay.
Pretty leading in the industry.
Okay. I would love to know what viewers thought about hearing machine sounds in videos. Is that a thumbs up situation or is that a thumbs down? Because I know that like on Instagram, whenever you're scrolling and you see somebody go to like put something through the table saw, I know how that's going to sound and it's going to be a certified jump scare to me. I hate loud noises. And it seems as if folks do not mind throwing that into their content, whether it be YouTube or Instagram. Do y'all have any thoughts on how should you
have many thoughts?
Let your machine sing.
Let your machine sing. However, when you're editing, you turn that bitch down like to minus 30 decibels minimum, you know, like so in the 30 to 50 range. I think anything above 50, you're like, you can't hear it, but like at least negative 30 decibels. I said I had a lot of thoughts, but I think that's it.
I always turn it down because it's just too much. If you left it on all the way, I mean, I have power carving tools. You know how low those are. Those things just
But it's
scream.
Interesting is the
but
thing.
But yeah, it's like, cool sounding.
So I don't always have audio in my videos like of the tools because I'm listening to music when I'm like making stuff. So I'll just turn it all the way down and overlay like copyright free music. But like, you know, lately I have been wanting to integrate a little bit more of the shop sounds, or just like sounds in general. Yeah. So, you know, having multiple audio tracks is becoming very normal in my editing process now.
It's fun.
That's interesting. I think music. Yeah. I think music tells the story of what you're doing. And I think one of the scariest things I have at entering into this realm is knowing that I have to play by somebody else's rules with music because I can't normally use what I've been accustomed to with Instagram, you know, finding some type of audio that helps. Yes. And so that is one big just like roadblock to me. Like I'm not there yet, so I'm not really worried about it. But as soon as I cut a video, I'm going to just be sweating on how to put in, you know, music.
So there is YouTube itself has its own copyright free library. I'm sure you could find some other ones on the internet, but your choices, you know, are going to be very limited when you're doing that.
I can share a link that Carhartt gave me too for copyright free music because they like actually sent it and said like you have to choose from this library.
Nice.
Yeah. So that'll help too.
I'm going to choose from the Carhartt library. Carhartt songs.
Yeah.
It's for everyone. But it's just like a nice little link because they knew like that music wouldn't be anything they'd have any issues with because they had to be very careful about what we use in our stuff. Like we had to say things a certain way. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Agreed. Yeah, as a musician, I looked at my husband today and I was like, can we just make our own music? Like, can we just add that to the list of things? But
totally should.
I honestly like
it's a lot of work. I know.
Have you put your own music, Mary Lou, in yours?
Mm-hmm. In a lot of my videos, actually.
Yeah, I think I've heard a few of them and we've talked about it before, but so along with all the equipment that I need to buy for my own videos, I'm looking at like audio recording equipment for Seth and I, because we're both musicians and have played shows and done things for years and years before kids, way before kids.
Dude, so yeah, I'm like, let's so just, cool.
Yeah, let's just go record some songs, bud. But
all yeah. you need is an interface. Well, that's not all you need. Sorry.
But I was like, Leah's like, great, one thing.
Yeah. You need an audio interface. I have a Scarlett 2i2. I think it was like, again, probably in the $150 range. I can't really remember though, so sorry. I also had a Guitar Center discount because I was working there. But anyway, you'll need that. And like, I actually recently I've been like sort of NPRing it and using my video mic, my shotgun mic as my mic for like music and this podcast. And that's really like, you know, you already have your guitars and cables and all that shit. So, oh, and then I use GarageBand. I don't even get that fancy with it. I just use GarageBand.
That's what I'm talking about.
Because it's way back. It's yeah. already on my computer for free $99. I used to use what's the one you have to pay for called? It's like still a part of the like Apple world. And it's actually used for like producing music, and I can't remember the name. And I used to use it.
I wish
it,
I could help, but no.
But
no
the
clue.
Interface, the UI looks exactly like GarageBand. It just has like more options. And I was like, well, I'm not really like doing music like that. I'm just like doing covers here and there and stuff. So it's like, I say here and there, it's like every week. My bad.
The frequent here and there.
So like, I feel like you don't have to like throw that much money into that. And if you guys are just like playing, you can record three bangers, you know, and you could use that in every video.
That's what I'm talking
like,
about.
Yeah, like her theme music almost.
Yeah, hold on. I forgot his name. He's like make something. I can't remember his name.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to request Seth to write me a theme song. He's the lyricist. I just put a fat beat to everything.
That's what's up. You. Even some, just beats, dude.
Yeah, some bass notes with it. But I will have to go ahead and tell the internet that I'm a professional beatboxer by trade. I'm just kidding. I did it at one time at a church service, and it was full of old people, and they were like head nodding hard to it. So I call myself a professional now, but yeah, I'm going to have to go ahead and make that happen.
So many secret talents I didn't know that you had.
Oh, I have a mystery box that is deep. Find out at WorkbenchCon.
Oh, we saw some of it unleashed.
A little bit.
And we loved it.
I was right. It was make something. You were thinking make everything.
Make everything.
Yeah.
Well done.
He has less than 1 million subscribers. Sorry. But still a lot. And it's like the same, like I said, like same songs are used. So I guess what I'm saying with that as well is like people won't mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Okay. So whenever I was thinking about questions to ask, anytime I approach a new project or anything, I kind of look at big picture first and then I narrow down.
That's
and
great.
That helps my sweet little ADHD mind, you know, make sense of what I'm trying to accomplish.
Yeah.
And the first thing that I was, the first thing I was thinking of was, what does YouTube have that socials doesn't? So if we're talking to someone who only has an Instagram or Facebook or a TikTok, what would lead them to jump into the YouTube rabbit hole, in your opinion?
Money. Yeah, money. Primarily, I think.
Are you talking about the viewer or like the person creating?
The content creator is my point of view.
Yeah, I think money, because there's actual ads. The like brand and influencer marketing, I guess, is like very normalized, but it's not the whole thing. Like on Instagram or TikTok, like if you see a branded video, it's all about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Versus like a YouTube video, there will be like 1 minute in this 20 minute video. So it feels more like a commercial, more like an ad.
Oh,
it's a literal ad read. So there's more room for you to be you and not just about this like branded collaboration, you know.
Yes, that speaks to my heart, because like I have great relationships with some really great brands that I want to talk about. Mm-hmm. I don't want to talk about them in a place where it feels disingenuous. And mm-hmm. so that translates into a longer conversation to where you mention them and you harp on it, but then you move on to the subject mm-hmm. matter that brings them up, if that mm-hmm. makes any sense. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Exactly. So you said that really, really well. That's really attractive thought to affiliates.
Leah, do you watch a lot of YouTube videos?
I go out of necessity. It's not something I do recreationally. But in the past few weeks, you know, basically trying to say, to see what's going on there for people who are trying to do what I'm doing, I've looked a little bit more, but I've watched all the big guys, the guys who have that nice little million behind whatever number is in their subscriber list.
For people who do commercials well, like I think Eric Curtis does a really good job. Like if you ever watch any of his stuff, he does ridiculous little like ad commercials for it. He'll like, he had one like when he was playing tennis or something while talking about the, you know, the brand and stuff. So you can get really creative with them.
Yeah, I think people have more fun with ad reads in YouTube videos versus like social, like Instagram or TikTok or something.
I just saw Aaron's, by the way. I just saw his solar power. I don't know. It's solar power panels or whatever.
Who's that?
Aaron Curtis. Eric.
Eric Curtis. Eric. Oh, okay. It must be a new one. Okay.
I was like, I haven't seen that.
Me neither. I was like, mm-mm.
I think it's like new. I think it came out today. And
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's real fresh. There's a shirt off situation there, and my. Somehow my phone didn't cut off and I had to watch the whole thing. And so here we are.
Gosh. Well, rough for you.
The reason I asked is because like I usually don't, but like because I really want to get into it too, I've been watching. I've been like forcing myself, like, no, go over there and watch some stuff.
Dang, not forcing yourself.
Yes. Listen, it's hard to leave Instagram. I'm paid to be in there all day, so mm-hmm. it becomes like this weird thing. It's like, no, get off of that and go somewhere else.
Yeah.
I'm such a consumer. Like I love YouTube. I've loved YouTube. I don't really watch TV, you know, like I'll watch YouTube before that. And same with TikTok.
Yeah. So the stats say, and I just saw this recently, so it's gotta be true. True. I'll put that in quotations, but YouTube is the most watched forum, and that might be the wrong word, forum, but it's the most watched entity as far as consumable videos.
Mm-hmm.
And
that makes sense.
Yeah, I have a lot of people who are like, oh, I'm not on Instagram or I'm not on Facebook. They are not participants of social media, but you don't have to be a participant to consume YouTube. You just have to go to it. And that was my main reason to pop onto that forum, because I want an unlimited people group, at least access to them. I may not gain access to them as viewers or subscribers, but at least I've got the availability. I don't have that with any of my other socials. If that
person's think about this too.
Yeah.
YouTube is a part of Google. When someone's just on Google and they mm-hmm. tap in, how am I going to blah, 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 or hot guy with shirt off during tennis ad read, you know, like, what do you like a video is going to come up. So you have... you have like strangers who are not in your niche possibly mm-hmm. coming across your video. Mm-hmm. Whereas Instagram, TikTok, all of those are algorithmic in a very specific way, based off of your likes and your interaction and your engagement. Where YouTube, like I said, you can get strangers coming through. The potential is there.
And your videos don't die. At least, like, for me, I have, like, home improvement ones and stuff in there, right? Right now, like, I have a deck board video that just all of a sudden got, like, 36,000 views. And it was nothing before. Like, you know, Like, yeah, it's so evergreen. Weird. It yeah. Keeps,
mm-hmm. It lives on forever and ever. And like someone can come across that video like at any point in time.
I think that's what makes YouTube the final frontier as far as content creators. And right now, I'm connected with Bear Woods. I run their socials, and we are looking at where we can deploy better affiliates to be able to get more commissions for us. It's not so much about sales. It's about where can our people have a better view rate, click their links and do all these things to where this can work for them. And that's the conversation we're having, is that Instagram and Facebook and TikTok, we all know the rules there. The rules don't play in favor of a lot of the folks that we have behind our Bearwoods brand. And YouTube is got googly eyes as far as what we need it to do for, you know, Bearwoods. And so now as an affiliate myself with other companies, that's where I'm like, I've got to go there. That's got to be the place where it will give me more bang for my buck. It is more work, but it will do more for me than where I've been in the past, you know, 6 years of my content creation.
That's the thing too, that I think makes it harder for people to make that leap or to even just post consistently on YouTube, mm-hmm. is that there's more work involved. Mm-hmm. There's like way more work than just posting a video to Instagram.
Tell us about it. What is that work?
I'm like, where do I start? you're from conception, let's just say from conception to posting. So like you come up with the idea, you do whatever pre-production you're gonna do, then you make the video, then you edit the video. But like editing, when you're done editing the video, you're not ready to post. You still have to come up with a thumbnail. You still have to come up with whatever you're going to write in the post. You have to add all the links that you're going to add. Like, you have to think about all these things. And then, like, you also have to, like, you know, some people put a lot of effort into their thumbnails and a lot of thought and all of this stuff. So, you know, and I make people watch my video. Like, I made Tiff watch my video before I posted it. Because, terrible. Like, you know,
forced me.
I did force you.
She's like, I need 20 minutes ready? Of your undivided attention.
I actually
now.
Said 30.
Oh, 30, whatever. Yeah. It was funny.
Because it was a 20-minute video, and then we need 10, at least 10 minutes to digest. Like,
yes, ma'am.
Yeah. But, you know, like, there's so much more, I personally feel, that goes into a YouTube video than Instagram. And I also kind of feel like the stakes are higher to a degree. That could be just like, you know, my own overthinking.
Well, you're
mind,
putting so much of you in there, so I feel like the stakes are higher because you're there's a lot of you out there that people are going to be viewing. Your vulnerability is up there higher because you're like, I put mm-hmm. a lot of effort into this, like mm-hmm. please don't be yeah. horrible, please don't flop, because it is scary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like YouTube is like a first date. Like every time you post, you know, that first date you want to hit.
That's a great analogy. Yeah.
But like Instagram and Lord help Facebook is like you're texting someone. Instagram is at least like maybe you're at the movies together and like, you know, this is actually a great, like, I need to write this down because this would be the most amazing reel ever.
Instagram is the movies because nobody's talking to each other.
No, we don't want to do that.
Yeah, and nobody's engaging with each other.
Yeah. And Threads is like a eye contact conversation where you're just staring at each other and talking a lot. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway,
Threads is like
a little unhinged, a little bit.
I'd say like when Clubhouse came out during the pandemic. Instead of voices, everyone was like, all right, I'm tired of hearing you.
Went straight silent. Yeah. I would love to hear, when looking at YouTube, one of the thoughts that I had was, okay, put all your eggs in that basket, so to speak, besides, you know, getting a subscription list and all these things that I want to do for like website. But as far as content creation, I was thinking if I put my efforts there, they would scaffold down with my other social medias. Is that how you kind of approach yours?
Yes, everything is a circle for me.
Okay.
I lead wherever I am. I'm still kind of like going like I put my Instagram stories in my YouTube videos. And so, okay. And then I like, you know, put my handle on screen, like go there. And I usually will reference my website. So like get traffic going there in some mm-hmm. way, whether it's like just in the like bottom little post area or in the video. I've done that before. But yeah, I think like leading people to everything that you do is just going to help you in the long run.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's part of the overwhelming part of it for me. But then again, right now I'm at a unique spot, literally on every front for my business and then also my physical shop. I'm improving. And so whenever you look at just building a website, that alone is big. But when it's the only thing you're doing, it's you can take a bite out at a time, you know. Mm-hmm. But when you're improving everything, whoo, it's like it's moving and having baby. Yeah. Yeah, and getting married and starting a new job all at the same time, you know.
I 100% understand. That's what I do over yeah. here too. And it's always just one task to the next task, and nothing gets complete devoted attention. Ugh. And everything's slowly getting better, but it's taking forever.
That's like a sad country song that I could sing with you right now.
I mean, I have two lasers in my room right now, but I have no time to actually use them. Like, no time.
But they're pretty.
Yes, they're gorgeous. But because I went and landed another brand deal, that's where my focus has to be too. So I'm like, I have two like big commitments happening right now and trying to balance that out. And I do want to, I have like the donut video. Like I have a YouTube video that's 15 minutes long that still needs a lot of work to it. But it's just sitting there, just waiting, saying, hey. Play with me. Like, it's tough.
Yeah. At least have something in the queue.
Yeah, I do. I have something that's like already, like I really focused hard when I was editing that. I was doing it for Instagram and for YouTube at the same time. And then I was just taking stuff out of it for Instagram and then just saving the shell for YouTube. That's kind of how I think I have to do it. For myself, just because everything goes so quick. But my problem is when I'm done with a project, I leap to the next and I've got to get back there and actually finish that YouTube video.
Ooh, you're singing my song. When I'm done with something, I want to be finished.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Totally.
Can I ask you guys, both of y'all, what do y'all edit your long form content? Like what program do you edit it in?
I use Final Cut Pro. If I were to start though, right now, I would do DaVinci Resolve.
Oh.
I would not. Oh God, maybe I would a little bit. So Premiere Pro is what I used to use. But it fucking sucks. It's like very laggy and it can't really handle like a lot. However, it has some cool functionalities. Like they just integrated AI into it where it will like transcribe your video. So I just started doing all my captions in there. So basically I'll edit a whole video down in Final Cut and then export that video. So it's just like one long, you know, video and audio clip that I'll pull into Premiere Pro and then just have it transcribe. And then I'll go through it and sort of like take things out. But if I were to start anew, I would definitely do DaVinci Resolve because I believe it's free. I think it's free.
I think and it
has
free.
A really strong color correcting software, and yeah, people are hyped about it. I just like I'm too invested into Final Cut to switch, but I was very close to switching about like a month and a half ago, but I resolved that issue. So I'm sticking to my girl. Yeah.
Say, I usually honestly edit most of the things on my phone in either InShot or CapCut because I'm always on the go. So I'll be editing at soccer, then I'll be editing in karate. But I have sense, used though. Premiere. Yeah, exactly. Like it's my phone's on me, so I can just keep chipping away at a video throughout the day wherever possible. But yeah, I've used Premiere as well. I think Ricky, I don't know if he was joking, but he said he uses iMovie. Like he said, he's an OG and he just uses iMovie. So there is always that option too. Like if you don't have the money to buy more software, because if you're not, I'm already using Illustrator, right? So I'm already subscribed to Adobe. But if you're not right now, that's another additional cost for you. So if you
and Final Cut is like $300.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So think about that
but
too.
But I would definitely use DaVinci over.
Oh, 100%. No, 100%.
Yeah.
But I would just say, like, use what you have too. But yeah,
for
I
sure.
think
Absolutely.
I've heard a lot of people talk really good about DaVinci. I've never tried it. Mm-hmm. So I do kind of want to check that out.
Yeah.
But yeah, for me, I added a lot on my phone.
Good.
And then that's I'll put it into something else afterwards. But if I can get the bulk of it done, then I'm happy.
Cool. That's good to know. My editing career began at church camps whenever I finally aged out of church camps and I had to go and like help out, like make church camps. The first summer was I was taking video on a traditional camcorder way back in the day, and we would hurry back every night and give it to a buddy of mine named Andy, and he would pop it in and he would have to make this video in an hour before the kids came back at the afternoon service. And so I learned by watching him take all this information, throw it into a video, which it was probably some Apple-based software. And then throughout the week, he said, "You're going to make the last video." And I was like, "What are you talking about?" So he taught me within a week's time on how to just cut a video. And so that was 20 years ago, if that's going to date me at all. I was freshly 18 or so. So it gave me, though, a set of skills that now still transfers to modern day technology. It really hasn't changed in a way that, like, I can still go into a brand new software and still be able to employ those skills. And so I'm teaching my kids how to do this. I'm teaching my 8 and 6 year old, how do you tell a story, beginning, middle, and end? Well, we're going to do that with video. And it's been something that I see they can have a skill set and they can build an entire, you know, business off of content, right? That's what we're doing.
Totally doing the same for my kids, by the way. And we're also going to be taking a class about how to make video game, like YouTube videos.
That's what's up, though. I think, yeah. And my oldest is highly creative and this appeals to her. And she's right now learning to, you know, she's in second grade. So reading is very attractive to her right now. And story is attractive. And I told her, I said, you don't only have to consume them, you can create them. And so, yeah, so I take my kid to work some days on my computer.
That's cool. Yeah. You know, someone told me or asked the question recently, like, what should I do for my birthday that doesn't cost any money? I was like, make a movie. Like, you already have a phone. You already have a phone. Like, movie, I know we talked about tech a lot, but you don't need any of that really, like, to tell a good story. And that's why, you know, some YouTubers who like make vlog like videos from their phone or like a GoPro or something get millions and millions of followers because their stories within each video, not just like their story, like broad picture, but like that video. That video's story was compelling enough that people wanted to watch more. And so you could do a lot with a little.
Yeah. Agreed. Yeah. If you had one or three tiny little pieces of advice for someone like myself, who I've got a little bit of experience with content, want to move into a broader storytelling forum. That's why I'm moving into YouTube, sorry. And I'm trying to show my craft, but ultimately I'm trying to craft the story around why and what I make. So basically I'm not here to tell you how to make something. I'd rather weave the story into what I'm making with my hands, if that makes any sense. Mm-hmm. If there's any piece of advice, like my hands are open and ready to like grab it and receive it.
Do you want to answer that first, or is this specifically me?
Oh, this is broad.
I don't want to speak over you, Tiff. Like,
oh, no, no, you're totally fine.
I've talked so much. So I'm like, I do have an answer, but if you have something
to say. The roles are special. You say yours first, and I'll talk.
Okay. I feel like you described my YouTube channel. I don't like to teach anything. And I feel very weird and awkward when I'm explaining every single step that I'm doing, which is like how I was sort of first creating videos, because I was mimicking other people. Like I was inspired by these people, but I didn't have my voice yet, like my own voice. Mm. And so like, you know, like I said, if you look at like a very first video of mine to like now, it's so different. And I think like the most important thing that I do now, it's kind of my North Star, is to have a three act structure, like a beginning, a middle, an end. And there has to be some sort of conflict resolution. And that's what, in my opinion, makes compelling storytelling. And so that's just a North Star, though. That doesn't restrict you to anything. You could right. do whatever, but there's those main elements has to be in the video.
Yeah.
So that's my advice, having like some sort of a North Star to keep you tied together in some way, but like how you express that can vary, and so then you're not confined to certain boxes.
I like that. Find your North Star.
You're gonna read that later, like, what was I talking about there?
I'll just call Mary Lou, like, help.
Where's my North Star? Where do I find it? For me, I've made so many videos that are just training videos. I'm supposed to tell you what to do and how to do it. So I actually can't wait to not do that too and take a little break from that, because it is exhausting, but I actually do like it. So like for me, it's hard to tell you advice on how to do that. Just kind of, I have motivations to storytell. Like I grew up making films and goofing around that had nothing to do about making. So it'd be cool to transition and show some of that too. Or, you know,
I
even
think
just
you do a
things.
Little bit of that.
You
though.
Think so?
I think you like, if you look at your, Tiffany, videos and content around that, like there's a lot of you in it, even though it was like a branded video, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and you have this, like you set up a whole scene, with like, smoke and lights and stuff, and like so you're adding these little like drops of you into it, even though you're like teaching in a lot of these videos too. And you know, you get that from your voiceovers too, your like humor in there. And so it's not like a completely bland and boring like training
tutorial
video.
yeah if you want those, head on over to sabertooth.com.
Yeah. Yeah, like I think that there's some folks and there's some videos that I've done where it feels like you're watching, remember, you know, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, watching TV past a certain time, you got the same content with TV just recycled. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. It's these old commercials, QVC is on, you know, talking about products, and I want to be able to not have that as me. I don't want to just talk about somebody else all the time. I want to talk about me. And that happens to also include brands, but finding that pace, that North Star, that, you know, where my personality is, it's going to take some doing. And I'm afraid it's going to get real weird, but I also think that that's going to be so much fun to kind of, you know, find those barriers to bounce off of, and to make some mistakes. But I'm not there yet. I'm on the edge of, you know, the cliff to be able to do what you guys have been doing so well. And it's exciting. I like it.
I think you hit the nail on the head. It's going to take some doing. But like, because you need to just start. And like, create video after video after video. And it's such a good time when you don't have a following to do that. Because like you're not as self-conscious and you're like, oh, well, nobody's going to see this. Or like you hope, you obviously hope, but like, you know, you're not expecting it, I think. And so like you're kind of more willing to be experimental and like weird, as you say, but it's probably not that weird. It's probably cute and charming. So,
well, kind of like what you said to me, Mary Lou, where you stopped me. It's like, no, you are doing this already. You know, you are implementing a lot of this stuff. Leah is an amazing storyteller in her reels and her short format. So don't try to underplay yourself at all, Leah. You do so good at expressing who you are. And now you're just going to be able to dive into it more and tell your stories and add those quirky little things, you know, that you want to put in there, because that's going to be you. Like, that's, it's exciting.
Yeah. I honestly think you are there. Like, just by your questioning and the way that you're thinking about it, I think you're already there. I don't think, like, I know I said like pre-production is good, but like sometimes it's too much, girl. Like, you just gotta
dive
like,
in.
Yeah, like take the leap and like you'll find out what works and what doesn't.
Right.
And yeah, I think you'll kill it too.
Yeah. Well, either way, you know, this conversation has been so affirming and it's nice to be able to bounce things off of you guys. And I hope it resonates with anyone who has been interested in taking this step into YouTube, but tentative as I have been myself. But my big thing is, though, I started Instagram to like document my story. And it was at first with Instagram was only pictures, you know, the blessed old days of Instagram where pictures said 1,000 words. Now I have the opportunity to say 1,000 words. And I think you can get in your head about it. But at the same time, I was already telling this story through a picture. Why doubt me actually speaking it? Because I think I've had it in me the whole time, you know? Sure. I think now it's just a matter of just, you know, taking the few pieces of advice and then just rolling out. So I'm going to make a promise here.
Oh,
yeah. Everybody get on the edges of your seats. I'm going to hopefully by midsummer be able to release my first and have my second and third installments queued up and at least getting edited and ready to release, because I do hope to have some type of consistency. But let's go ahead and put this summer as my huge YouTube debut. But also let's not get our expectations up.
Well, you and I are twinning, because like I took like a 2-year break from YouTube, and then this year I was like, no, I am getting back. I'm getting back to it. I actually enjoy long format and creating long format a lot more than short.
It's so much better. Like, we have to chop our stuff out so much to fit it into a 30-second reel or something.
Yeah, I just like, it's hard for me to conceptualize capturing someone's attention in 5 seconds.
Yeah,
and like that's something you really have to think about with like short format,
and it makes me feel like I have to sell myself in such a short amount of time, and that is so against who I am. Like, I can't be that person. I can pretend a few reels at a time, but that's not, yeah, I don't want to sell myself. I'd rather tell a good story, you know? So yeah.
How are you going to balance with your Instagram and YouTube? What's the plan?
It was kind of embedded in my question earlier. My thought is to, you know, shoot your content for YouTube and then chop it up and then put it into your other pieces. But then also, since I've been working with Bear Woods, I've seen how you also need to tell people what you're creating and what you have a value for them to kind of snack on in between the big payouts of these videos. And so being able to create still shots of other product that I have that's resting on the shelves, you know, with my website and things, to be able to have that pad, those other pieces of content, I think would be a really great, that would be, to me, that's my top tier offering as far as what I want to step into. Realistically, that will take me a little bit of time to get into. There's a lot of things that have to happen in between taking good pictures of your product. That takes time, you know. Mm-hmm. Editing, raising three children, you know, continuing building a business.
Yeah.
Can I talk about packaging content?
Yes.
A little bit.
Say it again?
Hopefully it'll help. Like packaging content. So like making like a long format YouTube video and then a bunch of like short videos for Instagram and whatever else you want to post on, and then also pictures as well. This has like been new to my workflow, so it's very fresh to me right now, so I'm like kind of willing to talk about it. But so in like my Final Cut, I'll have like one main project, which is where I'm editing the YouTube video, and then and you can do this within Premiere and probably DaVinci, but you could have like other projects within this main thing as well. And so it's like a whole nother timeline that you're editing on. And so I'll make the file settings different, like vertical, and then edit everything down and cut it up the way I want to cut it up. Or I'll just keep the cuts the same, but I'll just like resize everything. Mm-hmm. And so then I'm like just exporting everything out of Final Cut, and it's like all these videos ready to go. And recently, and I like really do not know why I did not do this before, but I've been taking a lot of pictures from my video, like moments that are visually cool looking. And then I have like, I'll pull those shots into Lightroom. And I have like a specific, what is it called in Lightroom? I think they're still called LUTs. So I'll have a LUT in Lightroom that I apply to every single picture so that they all have the same look. So the pictures still feel like the video, but they feel like pictures, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, and now I have like more content that I can spread out over time, because honestly, for me, making a video to post every single day to the like quality that is me, like it's not impossible, but it's unrealistic for my mental health. So like now I have found a way to like spread the butter, if you will.
Spread the butter. That's the most southern thing you've ever said.
Like I'm from SoCal. But I did live in the South for like 8 years.
Well, it did you right with that one saying.
Yeah.
I'm now writing that in cap, like
spread the butter. Find your North Star and spread the butter. Those are your takeaways.
There's some tattoos coming out of this.
Did you get all your questions out?
I think I did. Good for I can't believe I did, but I'm looking at my list.
Oh my God, so on target too. Within an hour, she asked all her questions. Oh my gosh.
Oh,
We all brought our A game.
Efficiency.
True, yeah.
So let's talk about this hand chair real quick. When does that start? When do you start the other hand?
Okay, so I'm officially finishing up these guitar stands this week, like this weekend. So Monday, I will be flip-flopping my attention to guitar stands, so I'll start ripping stock basically, which will be also my unveiling of my new shop. So the beginning of that project, I will have a whole YouTube series just on the right hand build.
Nice.
But it's going to transition from my first video, which is it's basically going to be who I am. It's going to be like a practice video, to be honest, for myself.
Mm-hmm.
But it will transition into here's my shop upgrades, and that will roll into the right hand chair, ripping up plywood and doing glue ups for it. May is the beginning of the actual work. I have to figure out a way on how I'm going to roll out those videos, if I want to chop them up into pieces and parts, and then later on do a comprehensive video so that's part of the things I'm having to figure out. But the work starts in this next week.
Nice. I mean, you could always be the person who does that whole chopping up and bits and parts after the big video is released. Like Mary Lou's doing that right now, where she released her video and now she's posting stuff afterwards. I know like BM Sculptures does that really well. Blake McFarlane, you don't know what he's working on usually unless you watch his stories until after the big video is posted, and then all of a sudden you start seeing all these other things coming afterwards. So
it's, and it's great to like keep pointing back to the big video, because people do not see it like when you just post the one time or maybe twice at most. And so in the last 2 weeks, like I've seen the benefits of constantly posting about it. I personally feel like I'm being annoying, but like but I've been pushing through that feeling, because like I know it's working. And so, and like, you know, when I was putting out small like short content before the big video, like I'm already over it. I'm pretty over the edit and the video, because like I did all the little ones, you know, and I'm like, it seems like old footage to me now. And so like I think it's just so much better to do the long edit first and then break up everything, because you already did all the legwork, you know. Yeah. You're not like coming up with ideas for like three different videos. The three different videos are already within your long video.
Okay.
I enjoyed doing that for the Carhartt one too. Like, even though it wasn't like a YouTube video, it was for that commercial that I recorded all that content. But then creating all these little pieces and showing the process afterwards was really fun. Because normally I am showing everything as it happens, or, you know, like shortly after. And it's exhausting because you're still in the middle of that build too. And you're like, gotta get this finished. I gotta edit this. And it's a pain. So I can see the big time benefit of doing it afterwards.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's really interesting. And I know I've seen BM Sculptures do that before, and guess what it did? It brought me back to his content on, I saw the payout. Now I want to see how he got there. So payout first, you know?
Yeah. And he's one of the people that I actually watch like before. Like, I've always watched his YouTube content. I just enjoy it. So it's a fun way to see how he advertises it on the other platforms.
Yeah. Wow. That's really interesting. Gosh, I don't think I would have thought about that. I would have done the traditional, you know, here's my first step, second step. And then I would have been sweating doing the work plus the editing all, you know, in a, that timeline type, you know, idea of having to get it finished so I can
close you down too.
It does. Yeah.
Like I was able to schedule out content for 2 weeks. Like I haven't really thought about it. Yeah. Like, and I did it all in one day, thankfully, because like Instagram's like easy. But yeah. So tomorrow I'm actually going to be creating content for this next week. I'm just going to like have it all scheduled out and ready. And like the workflow is getting easier when all the legwork is done in the beginning.
Okay. Somebody better, I hope I'm not the only one writing this stuff down. I hope somebody is like,
well, they have this podcast for reference now.
Yeah. True.
Listen to this shit over and over again.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, personally, I will tell you both of you what my actual schedule is and what I'm going to do. I will do that quietly within our own DMs just to see, you know, if it's worth doing the way that I'm thinking of. But this has given a lot of direction and probably kept me from making some missteps along the way that I would have been like, oh man, I hope nobody ever watches that old video, you know?
Yeah, I hope nobody watches any of my old videos.
Like, oh, I'm going to go last deep five. Dive with you, Mary Lou.
I was like, you know, like now Leah's going in.
Some of them are dumb.
See, I'm leaning towards like just, I was telling Mary Lou for my content, just going for the dumb stuff. Like, I know you mean like another way dumb, but like I just want to be over the top ridiculous. And I just kind of can't wait to dive into that. Just,
I always say lean in.
Lean in. Yeah.
Lean in. If something feels good, lean in. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I have this idea for my first one, because really I just want to talk about, I never get to explain where I'm from or why or who. I never get to give that context. And so I'm thinking for this first one, I'm just gonna go so deep down a dark hole of East Texas, because there's so much of it that just fleshes out in everything I do, but I don't ever get to talk about it, you know? But like, if I'm going to do it, I won't do it lightly. It's going to be in the ridiculous, you know, it's going to have to step way further.
It sounds like it's going to be a good trailer for your YouTube channel as well.
I was actually thinking that, like, how long are you trying to go, or do you want to have it as like your landing page trailer when they go on your YouTube and that's the first thing they see? Is that the goal, or is this more of a long one and then you're going to make a smaller one for that?
I think I make a long one and get all my words out. But then my thought was, if I could condense those shots and in that story down to, you know, an elevator pitch of me, then that's what airs right after I talk about whatever my next video is going to be. It's basically like your intro to a TV show, like how we used to watch TV back in the day. You have your, can I just reference Boy Meets World real quick?
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Like, theme song with all the little pictures of them, you know what's coming, but they switch it up every now and again. That's what I would love for mine, and to keep it around 15 seconds where I don't lose the viewer. But yeah, there's a lot of life that happens out here, and all of that life influences every single thing that I touch inside the shop. But I never get a chance to tell the story, and that it honestly infuriates me that that's how Instagram has influenced me to be as a creator.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my main probably reason in wanting to create an exodus from that forum, still be present. But if they're there for me, then they're going to come over to YouTube for the same reasons. And then they can actually get to meet me, you know? Yeah. So that's my thought.
That's a great thought. Mm-hmm. I think you're on the right track. You are there.
I'm ready to just make it happen.
You are.
Yeah.
And if you need a sounding board, here we are.
Mm-hmm. Oh, speed dial. Done.
Yeah.
Like, listen, I definitely would love to watch your first video and give you feedback. So let us know. I'm sure Mary Lou would be down. We can do a viewing party.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'll strap you in for 20 minutes plus 10 to digest, as Mary Lou said.
It's important.
It is. And we did need like that time too. We did. Yeah. Yep.
Like, you have to explain some things, or just like, I love to like hear people's thoughts, you know, like, especially people who don't like necessarily understand what's going on. Like, I'll have my brother watch, who doesn't make shit. And I'm like, does this make sense to you though? Like, what's happening in the video? Like, those sort of things. I like feedback like that.
Mm-hmm. I live for it. That's one of my favorite things to do, is to create something and be like, all right, let's all just, you know, sit and talk about it. But I mean, I'm a community-based human being. I think all things happen better when shared, which is not a mystery. Look at my life, you know, what we do together. Yeah, so done. I will send you guys my first fruits.
Our first fruits.
Thank you.
I love it.
And I will take a bite and be that sinner.
I love it.
No, I'm glad that we were able to do this, and that you could answer that. But yeah, like Mary Lou said, you're ready. I mean, you have all this stuff written down because you've been working really hard at the research for this. You could tell, and it seems like you're inspired and ready to go. So
honestly, should I wait to get a better camera to do this? I mean, I'm on a 12. That's what we got. Right, Seth?
Do you know Bourbon Moth?
Yeah.
All his like YouTube videos. I think only recently did he start. My dog is now biting me. only recently he's like, because I think he has a camera person now, but like he was shooting on his iPhone like the whole time.
He taught a class at Workbench, all on your phone, editing everything, editing and filming.
But he's so funny. He's hilarious. Like, what do you do if you're less attractive and less funny? I don't know if he's more attractive than me.
Are you speaking for other people? Because
I gave her a face. She saw my face. I was like, aww.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if I'm going to get this, you know, banged out at any type of soon, then it's going to be on my iPhone. But then I also don't mind, like, you know, Mary Lou, you said, just jump in. That's how I've started everything in my life. I'm a jump inner. I taught Spanish before I ever knew the language, and completely convinced many years of students that I was completely fluent. By the way, I am not, but I can do grammar like a mofo. And that's what I taught. But in my way of thinking is that when you want to do something, if you want it bad enough, and if you're stubborn enough, then you're going to get after it and get it done, you know?
Just get your audio, you know, yeah. Spend the money there. They always say like, someone's going to leave you very quickly if your audio is bad. Like that's the trigger.
I say audio and lighting. The phone has a great camera. The phone can shoot in 4K. Some movies, you know, like a lot of Apple commercials are all iPhone, and there's stabilization on there too. So like you have a great camera in your hand to make it more interesting than just like a regular ass like Instagram post story or something is lighting and framing and movement. Movement makes a huge difference. So like your daughter is like feeling creative, put that phone in her hand and have her shoot you and like just tell her what to do, you know? And then she'll get creative on her own, you know, as well. And like, oh, it'll look better this way or that way. And then you also have someone else like telling you if a shot looks good or not, you know?
Yeah. Okay.
And you're both gaining skills.
Right.
I know. I got to get my kids to film more. I really do.
Did y'all see Becca at Southern Pine? Her son shot a video, a reel for her while they were at the beach. I can't remember what she was promoting, but homeboy knocked it out of the park.
Awesome. Like,
yeah. And so that does remind me, like, I think I would pick my 8-year-old before I pick my husband, because he's going to focus on different things. And let me just tell you, it's not what y'all want to see on camera. Okay. It'll be what he wants to see. But my kid will probably be more on target. So,
and she's displayed an interest. So
yes,
it's there.
Do you ever use multiple cameras? Is that a thing yet for you?
Yes. Yes. I constantly am using multiple cameras. Dang, you have two iPhones. Damn it.
I've got a 13 and a 15 now, baby.
Ooh. Oh my gosh. Okay. So my thought was go ahead and invest in the 15. Which has a lot of the stabilization, and it can do ProRes, go straight to SD, plug it into my, and then I would also be able to separate work from home, which is a big problem for me right now. Like I can't find a picture of my kid on my phone because I have so much work on there.
Guilty.
Really?
Oh yeah. You have to search. Yeah. You have to scroll.
Yeah. So that's probably the first place I'm going to go as far as upgrades with cameras is just go grab the 15 and and just use it as my camera. But they make it affordable now to where you can do that and pay it out.
This Roma Bio stuff I've been filming, I'll have this one around my neck, then this one at a different lower angle, getting another shot at the same time. So that way I don't have to do both shots at the, you know, like it's just happening. Cause like, it's tough. Like I have to keep stopping, taking off a glove that's full of plaster and then hit the phone again. So I'm like trying to be as efficient as possible. So yeah, that's one of the biggest reasons I upgraded recently. Cause I'm like, I want two cameras and I don't want to spend that much money. And like, and these connect to each other and they speak to each other. So.
Very interesting. That confirms a lot. That was one of my thoughts. Until I can afford the, where is it? Sony A7S4. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm like, wait, is there an S? I keep forgetting.
How much was it, Leah?
If you want to get something that's beyond what a iPhone 15, per my research, this is totally head knowledge, not heart knowledge, then you're not going to want to go with the entry level camera. You're going to want to go with a mid-level camera, which is going to be $1,000+, depending, you know, on what you go for. And like I said, that's per research. That's not Marilu can speak better to that than I can. It's just what I've done with
It's a lot of money.
But like I said, it's whatever plunge you want to take. Like for me, I want to get started. I need to separate my home life, my work life. So getting another iPhone is not a bad stretch for me. It's practical in more ways beyond my company. And when I'm ready to make that leap, I think within, if I did this well for a year, I would probably invest in a better camera after seeing that I put in the work after a year. And yeah.
The one thing, I think getting a second iPhone is super practical. And like, that's such a great idea. I kind of wish I had a second iPhone, but no, bitch. Like, I'm not going to do that. But the one thing I always regretted when I was getting cameras is that I like started more budget friendly and I got like a Canon. I forgot the name, but and it was okay. Like, it was definitely better quality than the iPhone then or a GoPro. It was okay at best. And then I got the A7 III. And then another camera dropped right after I got that. So I was like so pissed.
Always.
But the thing that I always regret is just not getting the really good camera first. Like, if you're going to make the leap from like phone to a good camera, like, just get the good one. Don't like do the baby steps, because that's just annoying.
Yeah.
And I feel like you waste money.
Yes. Technology speaks to that, though. We know that when you're invested in something, as far as with our craft, with woodworking, like, cut the crap and go get the good drum sander, you know, or go get the drum that's going to be the width that you're, you know, you're pushing into. And that's my mindset in my shop. And that's the first thing I'm going to be talking about in my YouTube is, here's the reason why you're going to see this machinery in here. And it took me 6 years to take myself seriously and to get this machinery. So there's a lot of story behind why I have what I have here. It's not a whole lot of brand rep, although I'm very proud of the brands that I carry. Took me 6 years to get to this point to where I took myself seriously, and now my shop reflects that, you know. I want my content to speak to the same story. I don't want any breaks in my narrative. If I take my story seriously, I'm going to shoot it seriously with a good camera, you know, and hopefully it won't take me 6 years to get there with content. Now that I've learned my lesson. But yeah, that's a really good, I tell people in the scroll saw community, you know, whenever they look at Pegasus, I'm like, if you're going to be here, let's be here, you know, level up.
Yeah.
Tiff, level up.
I think, I know you're speaking to me, cause I do want one so bad. Not that I need a new scroll saw, but it looks so nice.
Hers pretty. Nice. And now she matches all my other machines, and it's pretty in here.
I've taken many a slow-mo shots of a Pegasus at Workbench Con. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, she's worth it though.
Yeah, she is nice.
I know. I've seen them in person. I still haven't tried it. I'm like, one day I'll have one. It's fine.
You never tried it at Workbench Con?
No. I'm always running. I haven't tried anything at Workbench
Con. I haven't tried it either.
Yeah.
You guys, like, I know. I'm going to call Annalise right now and be like, listen, we have some people that we need to attend to. Okay.
Yeah. You know, nobody thinks of the press.
The press I'm just is busy. Saying,
I saw Ricky get on it and I heard the noise he made whenever he scrolled on it. And I was like, that's a whole endorsement in itself. That
would have been magical to watch him try one for the first time. Just the things that he was probably doing to it.
Yes.
The light caresses, the kisses. Yeah.
Yeah, we've seen his body move when he's in the groove, but it was so much of a moment that like all I could do was just sit and like it was like rated beyond a movie than what I need to watch in my own, you know, household, but I watched it like this. Yeah. Sweet Ricky.
He's how I met you, Leah. We owe him.
Oh, we do. We really do. He's everybody's favorite uncle. I'll say that for sure.
Favorite uncle is not what I would call him, but.
Well, he
that
would prefer
the
word.
Word
yeah, he I would prefer it. The word daddy.
And exactly.
I think that's his code for Bear Woods. He just actually got onboarded, and it's code daddy, I believe.
Mm-hmm. I've seen him use it. It's fun watching him like transition into being an influencer now, because he's been fighting it for so many years. It's like, oh, it's happened.
Yeah.
If daddy wants nice toys, he's gonna have to advertise for them.
Yeah, well, you know what, the thing I told him at Workbench Con, which I think was a big catalyst for him, I told him, I said, you're already doing the work. Just mm-hmm. benefit from it, you know? Mm-hmm. And maybe just, you know, don't pelvic thrust as much so that I can use your reel for Bear Woods's page. But, you know, we'll get there. We'll get there with them.
Good luck.
Yeah.
Oh, daddy. Well, thank you so much for listening to this episode. I really appreciate you all tuning in. Mary Lou gave some amazing advice, and Leah, you had so many good questions. So thank you to her for coming on and kind of being the voice for everybody. I feel like those are questions that people are constantly thinking about that don't have a chance to express them and have people answer them for them. So I really hope you enjoyed that. And I know I was quieter on this episode, but I really wanted Mary Lou's advice to go out. I feel like she does all of this at a higher level, and I want her to speak to this. And I sat there kind of quiet about like where I edit long form content, and here I am right now in Premiere Pro. That is where I do all of my editing for the podcast. So I completely even forgot to talk about that while we were recording the actual podcast. Anyways, there I go. So that's my little tidbit, is I do use Premiere. It is not intuitive. It's, you have to learn how to use every little function on it. So I do enjoy using the apps on my phone because they are intuitive. They help you, they guide you. And there's a ton of little tutorials. Not that there isn't a million tutorials for Premiere. All right, this show is sponsored by Sabertooth Power Carving. You guys know that is my favorite place to get my power carving tools from, and you can use NightCarver10 in all caps to save 10% on your next purchase. If you're curious of what I've been up to lately, I have been just nonstop go, go, go. I've been making YouTube videos for Sabertooth every month. It's like beginner-friendly stuff, so go check it out if you're interested in carving. And I'm also trying to make videos for myself. I have a brand new Thunder Laser that you're going to be seeing me toy around with and learn. It's so far been a really nice process. And I'm currently refinishing the exterior of my home. So I bought my house 14 years ago. It was built in 1959. It's a walkout ranch. And in the back of my house, I have all of this stucco. And I've painted it twice in the past. The second layer just peeled so bad. So I've been living with like really ugly walls for the last few years. And I'm working with a company called Romo Bio, and we are going to be redoing the entire back of my house. So I've already scraped it. I've primered it. I've done 2 coats of lime slurry on it, which is like an Italian plaster, which is dope. And I'm currently doing the mineral paint on it. So I did a nice Celtic stone. It's kind of black, definitely darker than I thought, but I really, really like it. And I'm almost there on the exterior for the back. And then I'll be doing my brick. So I'm making a video on that just to kind of answer questions, teach people what I've learned as I've used this product, and just showcase it to show how it came out. So definitely look forward to your support on checking that out. Make sure you subscribe to all of our YouTubes, including the Make Your Conversation ones. Don't forget that, because you can watch all of the episodes live on that channel as well. So don't sleep on it. All right, have a great day, and I really do hope you enjoyed this episode. Please feel free to share any feedback on social media. Feel free to DM me. All right, have a great day.